You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, we'll hear from a Wisconsin photographer who's putting some of the state's most iconic natural places into Google Maps Street View.
First, new bipartisan legislation being proposed in Wisconsin would require juvenile corrections officers to report evidence of child abuse. This new mandatory reporting bill comes after allegations of abuse at the Lincoln Hill School for Boys and the Copper Lake School for Girls.
One of the bill's authors, State Representative Joel Clayfish, is also working on what's been called a right to try bill, which would potentially allow patients access to certain experimental medications. Those laws are already on the books in 33 other states, and others are considering them.
Joel Clayfish joins us now to talk about these bills and more. He's a Republican state representative from Oconomowoc. Representative Clayfish, thanks for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Along with Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee, you're putting forward legislation that would require juvenile corrections officers to report child abuse when they see it. Why specifically do you think that this is needed?
Well, I'll tell you, anybody who is taking care of children under any circumstances should be a mandatory reporter for child abuse. Whether it's a child at school or in a daycare, or a child who we want to have a real chance at rehabilitation and reentering society, along the way, we should have safeguards in place to make sure if that child is being abused that it gets reported. No child, whether they're in school or whether they're in the criminal justice system, is worth any less. And the reality of it is, I think Senator Johnson and I were surprised that there was a contingent of people who work very closely with children who are not mandatory reporters. And when we saw that, we thought the best solution to that would be that just to add them to the list of mandatory reporters.
Do you see this bill as being related to the allegations of abuse at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake School for Youth?
I can tell you that this was not a response to what is being investigated at Lincoln Hills, but I can tell you this was a response to learning that people who were in charge of juveniles at correctional facilities were not mandatory reporters, which did come from that information. Look, the reality is when you are working with the criminal justice system, you have to be okay with saying, okay, here are mistakes and here are ways in which we can make them better. So I wouldn't say it was in response to what happened there, but it was in response to our surprise that people who take care of children under any circumstance in the state of Wisconsin are not mandatory reporters.
You said surprise, so why do you think that this was not a requirement on the books already?
I think there are many laws that are on the books that have small glitches or loopholes that you don't learn about until after implementation. If we were all telepathic, we would have the answers before the bills were published and practiced. But as human beings, we write the legislation the best we can, and if there are holes in it that need to be addressed, we do our very best to address them.
What kind of consequences would there be for someone who was discovered not to be reporting abuse that they'd seen?
This would be the same consequences that are in place right now for mandatory reporters in other situations, which I believe is up to a $10,000 fine and 1 year in jail. So this does actually have teeth to it. We're saying if a child is in your stead, if a child is in your care, it is incumbent upon you to report abuse if you see it. And I think that in order to make sure that it happens under all circumstances, when you put a criminal penalty attached to it that's got some teeth, some potential jail time, and pocketbook, when you affect the pocketbook, you're giving a real deterrent to ignore the law that's in place. So we want to make sure that anybody who's taking care of children, and whether those children are straight-A students or they have made a grievous error in their life with the hopes of becoming, productive members of society, that we know if they are in an abusive situation that someone's going to find out so it can stop and that child can be helped, regardless their station at that point.
Do you think once that aspect of it is taken care of, the reporting, do you think that the necessary mechanisms are in place that there will be a swift response?
Well, I only hope so. I mean, you'd have to take a look at the way mandatory cases are reported at, right now. But nobody in their right mind wants a child who's being abused not to be able to put an end to that abuse. And the first way you do that is for authorities or other people to know about that abuse. So when you tell a profession that the children under your care are important enough that if you see them being abused, you have to tell somebody. I mean, it sends a signal across across the board that we care about the welfare of our kids.
Now, this is a rare instance of a bipartisan bill. Where else do you see room to work with Democrats in the near future?
It's not a rare instance. Unfortunately, we get that question quite a bit. And if you'd have taken a close look at the bills I had signed into law, I had more than 20 bills signed into law last session. Every single one of them was co-authored by a Democrat, and 16 of them were co-lead authored by Democrats. So for me and for my record, it is not a rare instance that I'm co-authoring a bill with a Democrat. In fact, LaTanya Johnson, when she was in the Assembly, co-authored several bills on adoption reform that were signed into law last session. So this is nothing new for me. I'm not a strict partisan. I think that the best work is often done when you can look to others who may have a different philosophy than you and come up with the best ideas through compromise. And that is something that I have always done and will continue to do.
And you've said, you made the case that this is not unusual for you, but what about your GOP colleagues? Do you think that you're seeing the same willingness to work across the aisle?
I think you're going to see the vast majority of bills that pass this legislature in this legislative session, as they were last session, co-authored by Republicans and Democrats. There are always some contentious issues that tend to get more attention because that's the news value. One of the seven tenets of news value is conflict. So when you have conflict, very often you will see more partisan issues, which are philosophical divides between the right and the left. But the vast majority of things that are done to make this a better place for the citizens who live here take compromise. And the legislators who are the least egotistical and narcissistic are the ones who are willing to say, I'm not always right. And I will tell you, I'm not always right. And I have no problem going across the aisle and asking someone from a certain area of the state, someone with a different experience and background, for their advice on which way they think something should go. I've never been afraid of it, and I've never been afraid to say I'm wrong when something doesn't go the way we anticipated.
We're talking right now with Republican Representative Joel Clayfish, talking about a couple pieces of legislation that he's working on, including one, a bipartisan bill that would require juvenile corrections officers to report evidence of child abuse. And I want to talk about a different bill right now. This is one you're working with a GOP colleague on, Representative Pat Snyder, on the so-called right to try legislation. Why do you think that this is needed?
Well, and first off, I want to give some credit to Diane Hesselbein, who's a Democrat, whose idea this was originally a couple sessions ago. I think this is needed because I don't think it's government's place to tell somebody who has been given a death sentence by their doctor that they may not try any means necessary to try to prolong their life and survive. Representative Hesselbein and I have been talking about this for a couple years already. The new Representative Snyder is on board, and we are working together across the aisles to say, if you have a terminal illness and you want to try anything possible to save your own life, you should have the right to do it, as long as that doesn't infringe on the rights or the health of others.
And the FDA, it has an expanded access option already in place, which has a high approval rating for this kind of thing. Why isn't that enough?
Well, I think that, the FDA may have those abilities in place, but the state, unless the state codifies what they have in place, then it's not able to be tried here. And 33 states allow a right to try medications, and it's about time Wisconsin become one of the 34 who does.
President Trump was scheduled to visit Milwaukee on Thursday. He was going to be taking a tour of the Harley-Davidson plant, and that visit was canceled. In part, I don't know all the inner workings, but in part because Harley-Davidson was uneasy about possible protests. What do you think about the company's uneasiness and the subsequent decision to cancel?
Boy, you really sprung that one on me, huh? But I would say that Harley-Davidson is one of the prides of Milwaukee, and they're a private entity, and they should be able to decide what whatever they think is best for their company and their employees on their own.
Representative Clayfish, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
Joel Clayfish is a Republican state representative from Oconomowoc.